you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. So good to see you. Hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday, May 30th, 2018. Pastor Jason, have you ever heard that expression, like, too much of a good thing can hurt you, or something like that? Whatever they...
Why don't you give me a practical example of what you mean?
Well, I was overserved again and again, and it was delicious, great taste. Everything about eating at Yoder's yesterday was wonderful. But I did it twice. I had lunch and I had dinner there, and I left thinking like, oh gosh. And they have this poppy seed dressing to kill for, as they say. Very few restaurants have poppy seed dressing because it's more expensive than the other dressings. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the few restaurants. I think there's only one other. Maybe it was the Beef House or something. But their poppy seed dressing, I just, I was like, so good. And they have that open bar, you know, all the varieties. So you can put the little bacon shavings in the cheese and those little nuts and croutons and, you know, carrots and everything. So I had this deluxe salad. Well, you can't just stop there. So then for the lunchtime, you know, the cheesy potatoes and the noodles and chicken. And so I was thoroughly filled and enjoyed that. But throughout the event, we continued to get up and meet people and welcome them and get up and move around and run errands and get back. And so now it was dinner time. And anyway, so it was too much of a good thing. I'd highly recommend eating at Yoder's, but just don't do it twice in the same day.
Oh. Yeah, I don't think that's a good idea.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know if I'm like most guys or most individuals. There's that inner need to feel like you're getting a good deal. And so when it's a buffet, it's so hard to show restraint when it's I want to get my money's worth. And so, so you tend to eat till you're full or beyond full. And I did that definitely once. I don't think I did it twice because I was like, you know, I have to show some moderation here. And as much as I love it, I did the right thing. I did the one plate. I forced myself not to go back. So whatever I put on this one time, that's it. But,
you stacked it up 4 feet high.
Yeah, that's right. I had to have Larry Bunning help me carry the dish back to my table. But we had a superstar team there. In fact, at 7 a.m., Marianne Simpkins, she launched the whole dinner club, which included the lunch and breakfast, but she was there greeting people and said that she and Rob Seidenberg and Cindy Wendell, they all handed out many, many of the Prime Lifetimes papers. They were just saying, hey, if you need some reading materials as you wait for your meal, or here, take one of our Prime Lifetimes papers. And they had a whole strategy that if you said, this is the Prime Lifetimes paper representing seven counties throughout East Central Illinois, that did better than say, you know, this is the Prime Lifetimes paper out of Champaign-Urbana. And so they had different ways to encourage people to grab a copy, and they handed out many. So that was a lot of fun. But Marianne, I don't know, she stayed there like half the day. And then Rob, I don't know, he pinch hit. And so then Larry Bunning and I, we ran errands, and we have the Prime Lifetimes paper now in three area locations, three additional locations in Arthur. The Little Nuggets, so I got to go there and meet Dale and his wife June. And they have like a resale shop, so it's a lot of fun. Bought a few things there. And then have you ever heard of Beachy's? It's a bulk food.
Oh, yeah.
Well, everyone was talking about, oh, yeah, motor coaches go there. You can get all these different spices and fresh stuff and fruits and all sorts of things. And it's a huge kind of converted, I guess they expanded, but like a warehouse. You're like a grocery store, but really kind of neat. So he let me put a stand right near his front door of the Prime Lifetimes paper, and the owner, his name's Robert. I think he's Amish, I was going to say, or Mennonite, but I think Amish because they said the store closes when it gets dark because they don't have the lighting because of the electricity. But they did have electricity to run the cash registers and a few of the refrigeration units. But generally speaking, I think they try to do without electricity, which is kind of novel, you think, with a grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone said when it gets to be dark, they close. And so they actually had hours just to like 5:30. But,
oh, wow.
So, yeah, when you go there, you'll see the Prime Lifetimes paper in a stand near the door. And then another place, it's called the Arthur MCC Thrift Shop, and the MCC stands for Mennonite Central Committee, but it's the thrift store, and I love it. I got a bunch of stuff there. And the manager, Nadine, she was great. You'll hear her voice in the coming days. I recorded a little radio spot, and they have a tagline like, where every purchase is a gift to the world. And they have a lot of volunteers, and they have WBGL playing over their sound system, and a number of believers are there. But I think they take some of the profits and help maybe the Mennonite Central Committee, like relief agencies, and reaching those around the world. So really a neat place with all sorts of good stuff and the bargains, where you'd buy like this picture and frame, probably, you know, $130 in the store new. It's like $4. So I was like, oh, gosh, I almost can't shop at a retail store anymore. There are so many bargains. It's like I can't pay full price anymore after going there. So, yeah, we appreciate Nadine. So let's see, Beaches, Little Nugget, the Arthur MCC Thrift Shop, and then Yoder's. Yeah, it was a great event, a lot of volunteers, and many divine appointments. You know, when you've said this many times, when you get to break bread with people and sit over, you know, a meal or sit at a table and talk. And so I got to sit with a variety of our listeners because we had some singing men there, some theater troupe people, some students from our English conversation class, former Israel trip people, just a whole host of people. But at one point, Larry Bunning and I, we didn't have dinner. And Larry had been there already volunteering for a couple hours. I'm thinking maybe I could get some of the people that have come to sit at the table. And Nancy Seward and Linda Lewicki, they said, hey, we'll volunteer so you guys can eat. So that was kind of neat. And then I got to visit with others that were seated there, including Gary and Audrey Ricketts. And that was one of those divine appointments where we got to share some of our life story and just talk. And that was neat being with them. And, you know, Janine Keller and Marianne Salmon, they both were sweet, and I sat down with them for a little while, and Connie Hart, you know, past Israel trip friends, and some of these have been at the Texas Roadhouse, so they're saying, we're groupies, we're going to all your dinner club gatherings, when's the next one? And I said, that's coming up next month, the end of the month, the 25th, it'll be at the Olive Garden restaurant in Champaign, so just a lot of good connecting with friends and people, Marie Schrock and Wilmer and, oh, just a whole host of people. So it was fun, and I appreciated so many people driving all the way down to Arthur. There were some locals there that didn't have to drive too far, but many came from beyond Champaign, Urbana, and other parts of our listening area. So we were able to do it because of a great team of volunteers, and yeah, it turned into a pretty long day, but, oh, I'm telling you, it's still worth it. When I think about that poppy seed dressing, I almost want to go back for more. So, hey.
Did you get a bottle of it to, you know, to have around the house?
You know what? I should have asked because it's just so good. So good. But Larry was telling me, he was kind of bragging you up, and I know this has been a pattern for at least 3 or 4, maybe 5 years, where you give a Memorial Day message. And you were telling me that the 70th anniversary is coming up. And so there's some history to the Sportsman Club. And Larry just said he didn't say these words, you hit a home run, but he said it was a great message. His sister liked it. I think he had a brother or two there, or some other friends. What did you share differently or different from the past years that maybe struck a chord with those that were there?
Well, I have some good news for you and I have some bad news. The good news is that I have my notes from that actually in front of me on my desk here. The bad news is that I departed from them pretty quickly. You know, it's an interesting kind of story. The day before Memorial Day, so on Sunday, we decided we were going to have a nice family afternoon, and we went to the pool in Urbana. And, you know, we were sitting by the pool in these lawn chairs that are in the water, so like part of your body's in the water on these lawn chairs. It's just really relaxing. And so we're in the middle of it, and Tasha, my wife, she said, are you just kind of quiet? Is everything all right? And I said, you know, I got to give this message in the morning. And I said, I have two choices. I said, I have something that I know is a good message. It's a good message for Memorial Day. It'll honor those who have sacrificed their lives for freedom, and it'll also challenge people. And then I said, and then I have this other message. that I really think I'm supposed to give. Mm. And she said, well, tell me about that message. So I told her, and then she said, you need to pray before you give that message. You know, I had a professor when I was in school who used to say, you know, it's better to have something to say than to say something.
Mm.
And so he essentially was saying, when you come, you need to have something to say. Speak to something. Incite people's hearts and their minds. You know, don't simply show up and just talk because that's what you're assigned to do.
Mm.
And so really, as I've talked about in past years, I talked about our need to remember and how we so often and are so good at forgetting. And that it is so important that we strive to remember. There was a quote that says, there's nothing wrong with America that cannot be cured by what is right in America.
Hmm.
And one of the things I really drilled down upon is the fact that, you know, we put so much emphasis on what's happening in Washington and what's happening in the White House and what's happening in Congress and what's happening in the Senate. And we forget that what is right about America is what happens in the backwoods and in the neighborhoods, on the campgrounds, you know, the small towns, those places in the United States. That's where what is best about America, what is right about America, can actually cure what is wrong about America.
Mm-hmm.
And as I looked out on the crowd, I just said, you guys are what is right about America.
Mm.
You know, and there were some folks that were sitting there. Jim Hampton was sitting there, who owns Tapman's Towing. And if anybody's ever seen, he's got a little truck that he's wrapped that truck with pictures of soldiers.
Mm.
And it says, remember our troops. And I said, you know, I said, Jim, there, that truck is driving around 365 days of the year as a remembrance for our soldiers and sailors and airmen and Marines and all those who sacrifice on behalf of the freedom that we have today. You know, we sing this song, America the Beautiful. And in it, there's a line that says, America, America, God shed his grace on thee. And what's interesting is we sing this song as a patriotic, triumphant kind of hymn. But the words America, America both have exclamation points. It's a call for America to listen. It's two times. It's to get our attention. And it's a plea. America, America, wake up, because God is shedding his grace upon you. Now, that's an interesting statement, that God is shedding his grace on America. Because Jerry Bridges, who is the founder of Campus Crusade, was fond of saying grace is only for sinners.
Hmm.
Grace is only for those who admit that they have grievously fallen short and are desperately in need of salvation. And so this call, America, America, is a call to us to remember that we have hopelessly fallen short, that we are nothing without God at our center, and that by his grace, he will shed that grace upon us, and he will offer us a way when there was no way. And he'll do it in the hearts of each one of us who believe upon his son, Jesus Christ. And so therefore, we become what is right about America. We become what is good about America, and we become what can cure America.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the keys in all of that is that we remember. You know, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1 says, you know, we must pay careful attention to what we have heard, therefore we do not drift away. Hebrews tells us, if you don't pay attention, if you're not vigilant, then you'll begin to drift. It'll happen. You know, Mark, they call it blind spots because we're blind to them. And so we need to be careful. And one of the things that just astounded me is there's this great story in Joshua chapter 3 and Joshua chapter 4. And it's a story of the people of Israel are going to go into the promised land, and the Jordan River stands between them and the promise of God. And so in chapter 3, God tells them to bring the ark forward and to dip the ark into the corner of the water. And as immediately as they do this, the waters recede. Now, not only do the waters recede, but this is a full-on miracle. The riverbed itself dries up, because God doesn't even want them to walk through the mud. And so then the children of Israel process to the other side into the promised land, and God says to Joshua, take a man from the 12 tribes, have him gather a stone, and on the other side, build a memorial, stack up 12 stones. And the reason for that is so that they would remember what God had done. And a lot of us have heard this story, and we thought that that's what we need to do. We need to set up memorials to remember what God has done. But one of the things that we forget, or one of the things we look over in this story, is the fact that in Joshua chapter 4, Joshua then goes out into the dry riverbed, the middle of where the Jordan River should be, and he stacks up 12 stones himself.
Hmm.
And some would say, well, why did he pile up those stones in the dry riverbed? he did so. So when the River Jordan was lowered during times of drought, that those stones would be seen, and that they would testify to the fact that whether there is a drought or whether there's plenty or in want, God is forever faithful. And I said to the crowd that was there, I said, when we look around today, we see an ethical drought. We see a moral drought. We see a social drought. We see a drought of what is of doing what is right and good, a drought and of common decency and kindness all around us. And yet what we need is in the midst of that to remember that God is continually at work. That's what Joshua wanted us to do. Joshua wanted us to know that especially in times of drought, to remember the great things that God has done. And the greatest thing he ever did was send his son Jesus to us, that we had a way to salvation. And so that was a little bit of what I shared, but really so much of it, Mark, was off the cuff because I just had something to say, and it was for that moment in such a way that I didn't capture any of it. In fact, afterwards, I said to my wife, I said, we always do this at the end of the day, I said, hey, what was your favorite part of today? And she says, when you boldly proclaimed the gospel with reckless abandon. I said, really? And she said, if we only could have recorded it. And I said, well, God had it for that moment and that moment alone.
Yeah, I know at one point, I guess Larry and Meg had sung. They have done that for a number of years. And they were standing or seated or somewhere behind you or near you enough to know at one point when you got off your notes or whatever, they were like, I think they saw you fishing through some pages and going back. And Larry's like, uh-oh, you never know how long he'll go if he doesn't keep on his notes. But then he said it was God ordained because he said that you kept speaking and sharing and seemed like you stayed off your notes.
Yeah, well, I think the funny thing was because I was kind of stuck in this area between having something to say and saying something, I stayed up later on Sunday night writing these notes. So most of what they saw me fishing back and forth with the notes was as I was talking, I think I was quietly lamenting all the work that I did on the notes that I was never going to speak about.
Yeah.
So I think I was flipping the pages going, yeah, no, really no need to have done any of that.
Yeah, could have gotten more sleep that night.
Yeah. But you know what, that I think God had to have me work through the one thing and then realize, praise God for his grace and his revelation that what I needed to say was what he laid upon my heart. And I really wrestled it to say, you know, Lord, is this what you want me to say? Is this exactly what you want me to say? Because this might be hard for some people. And I did have a number of people come up to me afterwards and thank me. But at the same time, they said, that was really tough because there were moments where you called to us and told us that some of us were probably part of the problem as much as we were part of the solution.
Well, you do one thing that I really appreciate, and you know, I know some people kind of wing it, oh, God will just show up, and you're more the advocate. You study, you prepare, you get grounded in the Word, you just get saturated throughout the topic. Lord, you know, work this message through me this week so I can prepare. And then you obviously do the preparation, you do the hard work, you're ready to deliver the message, and then you're capable, if you will, to then be led or prodded by the Spirit to take a different direction or say things you didn't even plan to say. And it seemed like, you know, you had been up late, you prepared your remarks, you knew where you're going to go, and yet God kind of not derailed you, but directed you in a new way, but you still put in the hard time in the study.
Yeah, you know what, any time that you spend in God's word, in my opinion, is not wasted time. And I do believe that the Holy Spirit loves to use what we store up in our heart. And so it's never a waste to put God's word in there because he's going to pull that out. That's a treasure trove, a reservoir of grace that he's going to use through you at different points. And so it's never a wasted time, never ever.
Well, I'm going to close out with a special song. This was played throughout Labor Day. It's a soldier coming home. I just love the message and the meaning behind, you know, welcoming in those soldiers into heaven, that God's setting out a place at the table for them. I love the rendition and the lyrics. So let's close out with that. Thank you, Jason, for being available. For those of you tuning in, I called Jason at home because of my scheduling and such. It's just worked best. And so we'll close out with this special song and thanking all those that have served in our armed forces and the many people that are in active duty now or serving in various ways, and then certainly those that have lost loved ones, preserving the freedoms that we so enjoy.
Yeah.
All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.
His back has been too weary. His voice is tired and low. His sword is worn from battle and his steps have gotten slow. But he used to walk on water, or it seemed that way to me. I know he moved some mountains and never left his knees. Strike up the band, assemble the choir, another soldier's coming home. Another warrior hears the call, he's waited for so long. He'll battle no more, he's won his wars. Make sure heaven's table has room for at least one more. Sing a welcome song, another soldier's coming home. Closer to the prize, he's sounding kind of